Okay, we're still discussing the different things, the foundations of what's kosher and what's not kosher, what things are usher to eat. So we already discussed the behemos tomatoes, ofos tomatoes, chayos tomatoes, and dagim tomatoes. And now, what's it called? One more thing is shrotzim. Okay, all kinds of creeping things, flying insects, those are included in shrotzim, and there's a separate prohibition on them, and in fact, many of them have many prohibitions. It's possible to eat one insect and be over five lavim, to get five times malchus for one insect. So they're very serious prohibitions. There's only one sheretz that is okay to eat, which is a chagav, a kind of locust. We don't have a mesorah of the locust has to have a certain simonim, right? Amount of legs and wings that cover its body and what its head looks like. And here also you need a mesorah, and for the most part, Ashkenazi Jewry for sure lost that mesorah, and therefore we're not allowed to eat any locusts. Sorry. Yes. The Taimanim have a mesorah, which they didn't lose, and they have a mesorah of what locusts are mutter, and I think there are Taimanim who eat chagagidim, and they say that the flesh of it tastes like chicken. Not really interested in finding out. And we can't rely on the mesorah of the Taimanim. Each mesorah is a mesorah by itself. The only thing you could do is if a woman marries a Taimani, she could follow then the mesorah of her husband. So if you're interested in eating locusts, find a Taimani who's interested in getting married. Okay, so that's shrotzim, and I'm not sure if at some point we will go into checking food for bugs, and what has to be checked for bugs. Mainly, any sheretz, any bug that is microscopic, that you can't see at all without the aid of a microscope or magnifying glass, is 100% mutter. Nobody argues on that. If it's totally microscopic, it's 100% okay, even if it's there. Doesn't make a difference. There's no way you could see it at all. If you can see it, but you can't ever know that it's a living thing without a microscope you could see it. It looks like a little speck of dirt, and it doesn't even move. So there's no way that with the human eye you could ever know that was a bug. Then there's a machlokus. Some hold that also is not osur, because there's no way without the aid of something that you would ever know that's a bug. So how could the Torah osur something that you could not identify without some artificial means? And others say, no, since you can see it, and we know from other means that it is a bug, but it's seeable, that's osur. That is what's called a machlokus. But if it's totally not seeable, except with a not visible, except with a microscope or a magnifying glass, it's 100% mutter. In addition, any food where it usually doesn't have bugs, it's muhzik not to have bugs, then you don't have to check it, unless conditions are that it's in such a way that it was stored for a long time in a way that maybe it was susceptible to get bugs. Right, it was in the hot sun or something like that, and then it was open to insects laying their eggs on it, and it could get bugs. That's a different story. But under normal circumstances, it was stored properly, it's pretty fresh, and there's no incident, there's little incidents of having, could have bugs, but it's like less than 5% chance, then there's no halacha, you have to check it, you can eat it without checking it. Something that has a low incidence of bugs, for instance, 5% or more of a chance of having bugs, then l'chatchil you have to check it before you eat it. But if you didn't, and you ate it without checking it, you made something out of it, it's kosher. If it is something that has a high incidence, it's muhzik to have bugs, then you have to check it, and if you didn't check it, it's also to eat, even if you made something with it, whatever. That's usually what the rule is. What things need checking or not changes constantly according to how things are stored, how they're produced, how they're grown, pesticide, a million different considerations. Different countries, different places have different incidents of bugs and different things, and therefore it's something that's very something that you need to know in your place at your time, what things need to be checked and what things not. Okay, but we're not going to go into that now. That's just general. That's another thing that's usher, is bugs and foods with bugs in them. Okay, there are certain bugs that are mutter to eat. Not like locusts. When they grow inside food, fish has certain worms that are beikr mutter to eat. They're part of the flesh of the fish. They grow within the fish, and they're considered therefore part of the fish, and it's mutter to eat the worms. Okay? They're not big worms that you see. They're not microscopic, but very, very, very small. They look like little hairs or whatever. And they're in a lot of fish. And the Shulchan Aruch says they're mutter. They're in salmon. They're in whitefish. They're in all the fish that we eat. And now there's a whole thing of coming up with these bugs don't grow in the fish, but they come from the outside, and therefore they're usher. And there's a very big controversy now of whether the regular fish that people normally eat haven't eaten for hundreds of years, all of a sudden may be usher. Most poskim hold not like that. There are some who are making a case that these things should be usher. Okay, in any case, you'll hear about it probably. Okay, the next thing is kosher animals that were not shechted properly. So a kosher animal that either wasn't shechted at all, it died, it was shot, it had its head cut off from the back, right? So all the other ways that they kill animals, that's called nevela. And nevela is usher to eat. A nevela is also an animal that wasn't shechted properly. In order to shecht an animal properly, you need what's it called, five different conditions that make shechita okay. We're not going to go into them now. And if they weren't done properly, the animal is called a nevela, and it's also to eat, even though it's a kosher animal, but it wasn't killed kosherly, therefore it's treif. It's a nevela. That's called nevela. Or it can be a treifa. Treifa is an animal that was shechted properly, but then you found that it had one of 18 different maladies that the Torah considers to be a treifa, meaning that it would probably have died from that malady, and specific things. Not everything an animal would die from is a treifa. And even if we think that the malady that the Torah said the animal would die from could be cured or whatever, that's also meaningless. If it fits into the one of those 18 things, and there's a lot more than 18 because there's sub-branches, but if it fits into one of those things that are halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, that was part of the oral Torah, of which 18 basic headings make an animal a treifa, then what's it called? Even if the animal was shechted properly, and you found then, upon inspecting it, that it had one of these treifos, it's osur. That applies to an animal, to fowl, to birds, and to animals, mammals. For instance, one of the major treifas, now most treifas are a very small incidence that they ever happen, right? For instance, you don't have to open up the skull of every animal you shech to see if it doesn't have a hole in its brain, because 99% of animals don't have holes in their brain. So you can rely on rove, on the majority. There's not even a miut hamotzi, there's not even a 5% chance that animals have holes in their brain. Right? There's less than a 1% chance. So therefore you don't have to check. Okay? But animals with lesions on their lungs, a hole in the lung is what's it called, makes an animal a trepha. And animals with holes in their lungs, there is a reasonable percentage of animals that have holes in their lungs. And therefore, you have to check the lungs of every animal that's shechted to see if it has a hole. If you find that it has a hole, the animal's a trepha. You're not allowed to eat anything, not just the lungs, you're not allowed to eat anything. If the animal has no holes in its lung, but it has adhesions and lesions on the lung, which most animals, many animals have, then there are two opinions. One opinion is, in the Rishonim, that any adhesion or lesion means that there was a hole and this covered it up and it's treif. There's no way that animal can be kosher. It's 100% treif. So the only animals that are kosher are animals that have smooth lungs with no lesions or adhesions on the lungs. The other opinion says that no, it's possible that there's a lesion or adhesion and there is no hole. And then you can check it to find out. How do you do that? You take off the lesion or adhesion and you blow up the lung like a balloon and you put it into water like you do a tire that you're looking for a hole in a flat tire. And if it bubbles, then you know there's a hole. If it doesn't bubble, then there wasn't any hole. The lesion or adhesion didn't cover a hole. Now that basically Sfardim hold like the first opinion, that if there's any lesion or adhesion on the lung, and what's called a lesion or adhesion is also a shaila. There are things that are on the lung, but they're not called lesions and adhesions. Even Sfardim would accept that. It's not completely smooth, but doesn't go into the klal of a lesion or adhesion. It's called a rear, which is a lesser level of something on the lung. Even Sfardim hold that. So, okay, it doesn't have to be totally smooth. Ashkenazim basically accept that you could check the lung when there's a lesion or adhesion. If it doesn't bubble, then there's no hole, it's kosher. But it's not a smooth lung. The smooth lungs are called glat. In Yiddish, glat means smooth. So glat really only applies to checking lungs of animals, right, that for lesions and adhesions. If it doesn't have any lesions, it's a glat lung. And that is a glat kosher animal that Sfardim would eat too. If it doesn't have, it's not glat, it has lesions and adhesions, but you checked it and it came out okay, for Ashkenazim, that's okay. But the custom has become, since checking the lungs involves time, it involves expertise, and in a Schlachthaus where everything is going very fast, sometimes they don't have the time to inspect it properly. So therefore, the custom has become many places to only accept glat, because then you have less of a problem of relying on the inspection. However, if the people are unscrupulous and they look at things would have adhesions and lesions and they say, well, that's smooth, that's pretty close to being smooth, it's not a real adhesion and lesion when it is, and they don't check it, then that's even worse, because had they checked it, maybe they found it's no good. So checking it and finding it good is better than having a lesion and adhesion, not checking it all and saying, well, it's glat. So just because something says glat doesn't mean it's kosher, because maybe the people who give the hechsher are not scrupulous people. So in addition to it be saying glat, it has to also be scrupulous people. And if it's scrupulous people, for Ashkenazim at least, even if it's not glat, if you know for sure that the people know what they're doing, then even not glat is 100% okay. But again, you have to rely less on the shochtim and the bodkim and the owners of the place. If they really are scrupulous and they don't bother to check, meaning that they only accept things that are really smooth, you have less of a problem with that. That's why the custom has become to use glat. And glat really only applies to this. You can't have glat kosher milk, glat kosher fish, right? Glat kosher basically means that the lungs are smooth and you didn't rely on a bedika, a check of the lungs to see if they were at a hole or not. It's become customary that glatt is synonymous with mahadrin. That there's no questions. Mahadrin means you don't rely on leniencies and you only accept what is acceptable to most or all opinions. That's called mahadrin. We'll get to that when we get to kashrus supervision or whatever, which we'll speak about, and why in Eretz Yisrael there's two levels. In America, the two levels really don't exist. In any case, so that's one example of a trefa, a hole in the lung, which you must check for, or you, what's it called, either check for a hole in the lung, or if there's any adhesions or lesions, you check to see if there was a hole, and if there's no lesions and adhesions and no holes, then it's a glatt kosher animal. It usually doesn't apply to chickens, unless chickens, usually, there's no way of checking them. If they have lesions on their lungs, they're no good. And the chickens, the incidence of holes in the lung or whatever is minimal. Therefore, you don't have to check the lungs of chickens, but if you find anything there, it's treif. There's no checking. If it has a lesion or adhesion, it's treif. The same thing goes for veal, what's it called, young animals. If there's any lesions or adhesions, it's treif. All young veal, lambs are what's it called, are glatt, basically, are the treif. Another thing, turkey, same thing as chicken. There's other things, though, that, again, depend on time and place. Another what's it called, kind of a trefa is if the tzomis hagid, where the, like on a person, the knee, where the tendons come together in the, by animals or by birds, could be broken, torn. And really, sometimes birds that are very heavy and lethargic, you know, that are raised for, don't get a lot of exercise, so the incidence of those tendons breaking is considerable. Then you have to check it. If there's more than a 5% incidence of it, you have to check. And that's why here in Eretz Yisrael, many places hold that you have to check the tzomus hagidin. Some places hold you don't have to check it. It really depends on what the incidence is or whatever. And some places are machmer to check anyway, and also to check lungs of birds, which normally wasn't done. And that makes something more mahadrin, less mahadrin, whatever, whether those things are checked for. It also depends on, sometimes there's diseases of birds. I think Newcastle disease is one of them. What's it called? Which affects the lungs. And then there's a higher incidence of holes in the lung or lesions and adhesions on the lung. And then that batch of chickens has to be checked if they had that disease. So it really depends on a lot of different factors. But that is what's called a trefa. Okay? So those are the possibilities of an animal. Oh, another thing, a trefa is, has a broken leg. Certain places where or a broken wing, which we're afraid that may be pierced the lung. So if you find a chicken that you buy commercially, in other words, a normal frozen chickens with broken wings or broken legs, don't worry about it, normally. Because all of that happened after the animal was shechted. After the animal was shechted, you can break every bone in its body. It doesn't make a treif. Right? It's only if it happened when it was alive, before the shechita. And normally, if you have broken legs, broken wings, it happened because of the defeathering. They have machines that take the feathers off, and they really rough up the birds. Don't feel bad, because they're dead already. So it doesn't hurt them. No problem with them, right? They're treated very roughly after they're killed to get the feathers off. And that's where most of the things break or whatever. How do you know? Mostly the rule is if there is just redness around, then even a break after death, the blood that's in the system comes out a little bit. But it won't make a black and blue thing after death. If it happened when it was alive, then there'll be a very serious black and blue mark in that place. So if there's mamish black and blue, by a broken pulki or a broken wing, then you should show it to a rav. If there's no black and blue, it's just a little red, and it's broken, then we assume that it happened after the shechita, and it's 100% okay. Okay.
What about a needle in a kurkavan?
A needle in a kurkavan? That could be a problem too. Yeah. So that's usually not things that happen. First of all, you only get the kurkavans. Yeah.